Dear people who keep company with God, there is an important message the Holy Spirit is communicating now. The message is the Lord is good. There is a great emphasis coming from heaven declaring and demonstrating that God really is good, while at the same time there is an equal emphasis coming from hell trying to convince us that God is angry, uncaring, and distant. In a sense, the enemy is doing everything he can to convince us that God is an absentee father. It is likely that one of the greatest areas of contention within the end-time church will not be over healings, miracles, signs and wonders, or even the revelation of the heavenly realm, but over the goodness of God. On the surface, this does not sound reasonable. But upon a closer look, it becomes obvious why the goodness of God will become such a point of contention. Exodus 33:18-19. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. It is interesting to note that the Lord's response to Moses' request to see his glory was, I will make all my goodness pass before you. God summed up his glory with one word, goodness. God's glory and goodness are the same in his economy. We have understood the glory of God to be the tangible manifestation of God's presence, which it is, and as wonderful as that is, there is more to be revealed concerning the glory. If you look at the Hebrew word for glory, it means weight or heaviness, meaning the glory of the Lord not only has a visible aspect to it, 2 Corinthians 3:7-9, but also a tangible substance to it. Paul confirmed this when he spoke of the eternal weight of glory, 2 Corinthians 4:17. God's glory can be felt, seen, heard, and experienced. When the glory of God is manifested, his presence, rule, authority, and resurrection, grace, and power are released into our lives. When we say God is good, this is what we are talking about, and this is why the enemy hates the glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. I believe it is really important for us to understand that there are varying degrees and levels of glory. We have based a lot of our understanding of the glory on the Old Testament story of the dedication of Solomon's temple. The glory came so strong that the priests could not continue to minister. 2 Chronicles 5:14. That is an awesome level of glory, and we all long for the day when we personally experience the glory on such a level. But to dismiss lesser levels of glory is a mistake. In fact, if you continue on in the story, you will find an even greater level of glory came. After Solomon prayed, the fire of heaven fell, and everyone had to leave the temple, and no one could even go into it. 2 Chronicles 7:1-3. So, it is important to understand we can grow in our experience with the glory. As we learn to cooperate and discern the lesser levels of glory, we can be better equipped and prepared for what lies ahead of us. Isaiah 60:1-3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. There will be geographical places all over the earth in the last days that are accessible to all men, women, and children, where the tangible manifest glory of the Lord will reside. There will be places where the goodness of God is evident in his loving kindness and care of people. I believe it is in the Lord's heart for the Father's house to be one of those places. God is good. Many blessings, Byron Wicker.